The Year of Faith with Father Don Castro.
Meditation number 4. The proper disposition we must have to be worthy to receive the supernatural gift of faith from God. We have learned the importance of faith and the steps towards eternal life, of which faith is the second step. And we have learned from where the Catholic Church gets her teachings. Now, let us see how the Church gradually teaches the first lesson on who am I and who art thou, and how the Church proceeds to perfect this lesson until a man come to know himself perfectly and knows God perfectly or almost perfectly. The process will all go on. But keep in mind that we cannot know God perfectly here on earth, but we can always grow in our knowledge of God. Let us see how the Church makes our initial natural act of the mind grow in knowledge until such time that the natural mind becomes deserving to be raised up to the supernatural level and receive the gift of faith. This process is called the development of one's knowledge of Christian doctrine. The first lesson taught by the Church is to confirm the first lesson learned by the natural intellect. And this confirmation is done within the Catholic Church. God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, had established the Catholic Church to make it easier for man to attain eternal life in exactly the way He had taught at the beginning. All these years, the Catholic Church had been faithful to its task of keeping in its purity God's way that leads to eternal life and everything else we have to know to attain that goal, from the correct use of one's reason to the use of the conscience to aid our reason, to the correct interpretation of both the Old Testament and the New Testament, to the knowledge of the writings of the fathers and doctors of the Church. And the Catholic Church had presented all this knowledge in an easy, clear, and orderly way, so that all men can easily learn and execute the steps that lead to happiness. Let us see how to study each of the truth from the vast amount that we should learn. We should learn the truths one by one, and this is the process on how to go about it. Let us take the example of the first truth learned by the natural mind, the I and thou truth, that I am a being, while God is there high above me, beyond my reach. This is one truth discovered by the natural mind, and this truth entered the mind in the form of a proposition or a statement of truth, and the Church confirms these truths and by doing so made it her own. Together with this first truth, our senses, like the sense of sight and ears, reads and hears other propositions of truth from scriptures pertaining to the salvation of our souls. We note these truths and set them aside, all the other positions that have nothing to do with our salvation. We set them aside because they are not important. What we are doing is this. We assent to some truths while we assent and consent to the divine truths. That is, we give them importance. When a proposition or a statement enters the mind, we may assent or dissent. We keep the propositions we assented to and discard those we gave our dissent or disapproval. We dissent or disapprove a proposition when we find it unreasonable, useless, or harmful to us. We assent or agree to the proposition if we find it beneficial to us. Though sometimes it can happen that it is beneficial to the body, but very harmful to the soul, in which case we choose. In all cases, the propositions are passed from the mind and goes to the conscience, which is also a function of the mind. It is the conscience that judges if the proposition is morally good or bad. Conscience is usually satisfied to morally judge the rightness or wrongness of an act using natural reasoning alone. But because there is always a danger of an erroneous conscience due to original sin, then conscience must proceed further to look for other sources of certitude, and it can use the norms of both the Old Testament and New Testament, both of which are good sources of moral certitude. Precisely because our conscience can become erroneous or make a mistake, it is most unwise that we depend on each individual to decide what is good and what is bad. But when conscience tries to look for other sources of credibility from outside, like the Old and the New Testament, conscience itself will find it very difficult to interpret the Old Testament, and more so the New Testament. So it must look for a source of correct interpretation. And this is the writings of the fathers of the church. But even the fathers of the church, like St. Augustine and St. John Chrysostom, are difficult to understand and interpret unless one is well trained in the different branches of philosophy. Then, as a last resort, God gave us a mother, the Catholic Church, to explain to every generation of Catholics the correct teachings of Jesus, the Son of God, up to the end of times. And her official spokesman is the Pope. So the final source by which conscience can check on the morality of its decision is the dogmatic and moral teachings of the magisterium of the Catholic Church through her spokesman, the Pope, after which there is no other source of certitude. Note that the final assent and consent is made up by the mind and the conscience of the individual. Not because the Old Testament and New Testament said so. Not because the fathers of the church said so. Not even because the magisterium of the church, through its spokesman, the Pope, said so. The individual believe because his own mind and conscience said so after consultation with the above sources. Thus, Blessed John Cardinal Newman's famous statement, "I offer a toast to the Pope, but to conscience first, and then to the Pope." Now that we have seen the whole process in checking the first natural truth in our mind that would result in our mind assenting and consenting to the truth, we must next follow the same process on all the rest of the truths taught by Christ. 12 truths summarized in the Apostles' Creed, and more than 800 found in the Compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, authored by Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI.